As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined as always by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. It was a happy Wednesday for the Raiders. Wednesday, August 17th, we're recording this, and the Raiders got a lot of people back at practice. I know, Vic, you wrote earlier in the week that this has kind of been a slow-played training camp by Josh McDaniels, and there's been a lot of injury absences, and because Josh McDaniels doesn't tell us much, we don't know if those are guys that are going to linger. But on Wednesday, Darren Waller back at practice for the first time in about 2.5 weeks. Trayvon Mullen on the practice field for the first time all season, all year. Jonathan Hankins, Bilal Nichols, two guys that also started the year on the PUP list. Those guys were back at practice. So finally, we're starting to see this Raiders team come together and get some key contributors back on the field.
Yeah, and the Waller return, obviously, you know, people were freaking out Sunday before the preseason game because he was, you know, seen at the Aces game while the Raiders game was starting, and there was he hadn't practiced in a while, and everybody's kind of freaking out about the contract situation and all that. But, you know, obviously him being back out there shows that he's not doing a holdout or a hold-in or whatever people want to say. And as far as the hamstring injury that he's been dealing with, he looks fine. So I had one moment where he caught a pass over the middle and ran the full length of the field in for a touchdown and didn't have any sort of weird gimpiness or limitations from what I could see. So he looks back to himself. You know, Hankins and the Nichols, they were kind of working back in slowly. It makes sense given this is their first time practicing in a while. Same thing with Mullen. He was working with the backups for the most part at cornerback. But the big thing is just having those guys back out there because those are all pretty big, you know, expected contributors, obviously. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, they were missing a few starters. And so those guys, I doubt we'll see them play in preseason games probably. But, you know, when you get to looking forward to the regular season and what their defense is going to look like, you know, a lot of those concerns that they had are gone now.
Yeah, that's a big day. I mean, the Raiders kind of missed their chance. They could have had like that wrestling intro music when each guy, like one by one, the guy walks on the field and they get the soundtrack going. It would have been pretty awesome. But for sure, those are all guys who are key guys, especially up front in the defense. I mean, Darren Waller, you know, top three tight end. And Rocky Assin came back. My guy Dylan Stoner was back in the field. Deshaun didn't mention him, but he was back
in
the field.
How did I forget him? Come on.
Come on, man. It's a practice squad MVP right there. But, yeah, so I think Raider fans are already optimistic. They had some, you know, some fears and doubts, but now today I think they actually can take a, you know, exhale and kind of think this team's coming together.
One bad, I guess, note on injuries is toward the end of practice, it was like during 11-on-11. Didn't look like he didn't go down or anything, but Thayer Mumford kind of came up gimpy after a play and kind of went to the sideline and was testing it out and talking to a trainer, and then he ended up walking off the field. I mean, practice only had about 20 minutes left, but He didn't end up coming back. We asked Carmen Vasillo about it after. Of course, didn't say anything. But that was kind of the story of the preseason game was Munford, you know, starting the first half at right tackle and seemingly, you know, coming ahead of Alex Leatherwood in that battle with Brandon Parker still sidelined. And so Brandon Parker is still out now. Maybe Munford, we'll see if he's out there tomorrow. But if he's hurt, that kind of maybe clears the way for Leatherwood to kind of fight back a little bit and maybe get back into the running for that right tackle spot.
Ted, what did you see out of Thayer Munford? I mean, you know, we'll see what the injury is like, but just in terms of his performance on the field, getting the start against the Vikings, what did you see out of Munford on Sunday?
I thought he played a really clean game. I mean, I think when you look at Leatherwood, he looks like a better athlete, more explosive. He just makes more mistakes and more technical problems with his hands. I think hand placement's a big issue with Leatherwood. But I thought Munford just played really clean. He didn't, you know, I think he may have allowed one or maybe two pressures, but I just thought he did a really good job. But again, it wasn't very good competition. The Vikings weren't playing their starters. So I'm curious to see how he'll look like against some better pass rushers. But it was just a very clean game. And, you know, in the second half, Leatherwood made some mistakes that led to a couple pressures as well. So Munford outplayed Leatherwood.
I had a question also about Leatherwood. It seems like, you know, particularly like you said, when he doesn't have that tight end help, he like gets beat off the edge, kind of on the perimeter. Like that seems to happen like pretty often. And like, what is he doing wrong on those plays? Is he, you know, not getting far enough outside? Is it some kind of technical error? Are the guys just kind of more physically talented than him?
To me, it's just a hand placement issue, and it's been, you know, this is the same issue that he's had since college, and it just hasn't been corrected. So I don't. Yeah, I'm not a off the line expert, so I don't know if it's just like he's just not good with his hands, he's not coordinated with his hands, but it always seems like his hands are in the wrong place. I mean, you can see how athletic he is, how explosive he is out of his stance, but for some reason he just gets his hands in the wrong place and the guys just are able to slip past him.
You know, it seems like obviously they want him to try to get as much time in at right tackle here during training camp, but I mean, when you see stuff like that he struggles, if he doesn't have that help on the outside of him, you just got to wonder at what point will they make that decision, all right, this guy isn't a tackle, and maybe he doesn't need to be a guard, maybe he is not a guy that can play, you know, on the outside of the line. It makes sense to go as deep as you can in the training camp, letting him try out right tackle. You probably would love him to be, you know, you want to get through those joint practices next week with the Patriots. Those are probably going to be the best competition that he's going to face really throughout this whole month. But you got to wonder if you get into the season and whether Munford's healthy and beats him out, or whether they ultimately say, all right, we have to go get a veteran, that maybe that's when you make that decision. All right, we've seen a month of this. We've given him time. He's a guard. And then maybe you give him a chance to compete in one of those guard spots.
Well, to me, they're moving everybody else around. They've got guys playing different spots. Like Dylan Parham played three spots in this last game. You know, Elmanor is kind of playing everywhere. To me, at this point, if they haven't tried him at guard, if they haven't seen what else he can do, it's kind of right tackle or bust in my mind. It's kind of like, okay, you're going to be our right tackle, or it's not going to work out here. We don't see you as a guard. If we did, we'd have you working in there. I don't see you. They're all big on versatility and guys moving around, but clearly he's not a guy they see as a guy who can move around, whether it's because the hand movement issues or some of the footwork. Maybe he has a hard enough time at the one spot. Maybe moving back and forth is not doing him any favors. So in my mind, I don't see them moving him to guard at this point. I think it's too late now. I think they've kind of, I know it sounds ridiculous, too late. There's still 25 days left before the year starts. But I just think they'd be doing it already if that was their backup plan. So I think, to me, it's like, let's give him all he can, and let's hope he can make it a right tackle. If not, this wasn't our guy. And he obviously has tried hard. He's in good shape. He's working hard, but he's not our guy long term. So to me, that's my early read on why he's not moving around.
Yeah, I asked him in the locker room. It's cool to be able to say that now for once. But I asked him, had, you know, staying at that one position through OTAs and training camp, it helped him kind of be more comfortable there. That may be the reason, like you said, they tried to just keep him at that one spot. It seems like a confidence thing, kind of more so than anything, because I think he has all the physical tools you would need to perform well, you know, in that spot. It's just when it's live, like Ted said, he just kind of reverts back to some bad habits. And when something bad happens, it kind of is followed up by something else bad that happens. And, you know, it's kind of weird for a guy that was like a five-star prospect and like a really good college player to, you know, kind of have that kind of issue in the league. But that really seems like what it is. And maybe that their hope is that at some point it'll click for him. But I don't want to act like, I mean, through the first two preseason games, like, I don't think he's looked like bad or anything. I think he's been like okay, like, you know, like decent, which isn't great, but it's not like he's, you know, been, you know, looking how Brandon Parker was looking in the first game or something like that, right? So I don't think his like all hope is ending, especially, you know, given the injuries like with Brandon Parker, and we'll see what happens with Thayer Mumford. Like, you know, maybe he gets more of a look this week and has a really strong game. But, you know, especially with them getting Hankins and Nichols back, like, I guess they could still add a defensive tackle, but it kind of seems like it'd be a little pointless. So, you know, it seems like right tackle would be that spot that if they do make a major addition before the season, it would come there.
All right. Well, a couple weeks ago, we broke down all of the offensive position groups, and we promised that the next week we would break down the defense. Obviously, we pivoted last week. We did the live room, got a chance to chat with all of you. So now we'll go back, and we are going to circle back and talk about the defense. And it's a good timing, really, for us to start talking a little bit more about the defense. We've seen two preseason games, and as we talked about on Wednesday, we saw them finally get back some key members of their defense. So we're going to start talking about the interior defensive line. And, I mean, it really good timing, because now that we have Hankins and Nichols back, we can start kind of picturing how those guys will round into form. And those are two guys that, I mean, we would expect to probably start to play a lot. The Raiders have done a lot of weird things with their depth chart. You know, so the depth chart lists Andrew Billings and Bilal Nichols as starting defensive tackles. Nichols has been out and still listed as a starter, whereas Hankins has also been out and is listed like as a fourth string defensive tackle. Obviously, we all know depth chart means nothing, but those are two key guys, you know, Hankins and Nichols, that are going to be really, you know, hope to be difference makers for them on the interior of that D-line.
Yeah, and I think the D-line, like the main like kind of concern I had about it was it didn't seem like it had a ton of pass rush juice coming from the inside. And I guess the Vikings, what more so stood out was they really couldn't stop the run. Like, they were rotating guys a lot. I mean, it seemed like they were, everybody on the roster almost seemed like it played a defensive tackle, and it couldn't stop the run no matter who was in there. And that kind of started to sound some alarms. Like, you know, not only is the pass rush pressure not coming, but they also aren't stopping the run too well. And so, you know, I think having Hankins, you know, he's not a superstar or anything, but he's a really, really good run defender. And then Nichols, who, you know, probably has the most pass rush juice in the group and also is a pretty solid run defender. I think, you know, makes you feel a lot better about that position group. There's still some depth concerns, not in terms of numbers. Like, they have plenty of bodies on the roster, but the quality of those bodies has kind of been so-so. And so, you know, obviously those, you know, Nichols and Hankins can't play the whole game even once they're fully back healthy. So I think that may still be something to, you know, see which one of those young guys step up. You know, Kendall Vickers has kind of flashed a little bit throughout OTAs and training camp. But outside of him, I mean, they had the couple of rookies, Neil Farrell and Matthew Butler, but, you know, they've kind of been buried with the reserves and haven't flashed too much so far. But, you know, we'll see if that changes at any point these next couple of weeks.
I thought Andrew Billings stood out in that game. I thought he played pretty well as far as a run defender and holding up his gap. You know, when Clelin Ferrell was healthy, did he play inside at all, or was he just playing outside linebacker?
He, like, splashed in there a little bit, but, like, it was mostly outside, and then he would, like, rotate in from time to time. Occasionally, but he's been out since like 2 or 3 weeks now. I think over 3 weeks now. So I'm not quite sure what his injury is. It looked like he hurt his shoulder when he was in practice, but I don't want to assume. Yeah, so it doesn't seem like he'll be in the rotation. I would say along the defensive line as a whole, that's kind of a thing, is you feel good about the starters, but it's kind of like who's next up after that, you know?
Yeah, I know the staff was high on Farrell, on Neil Farrell Jr., and I didn't think he did it a lot. He had more reps, both he and Butler, the other rookie, had more reps the last couple games, but I'm not sure they really stood out, so I'm not sure you can count on those guys being contributors this year. But I do like the main core. I think you have enough there with Billings and Hankins and Bilal, and as I can, Bilal?
Nichols.
Yeah, Bilal Nichols. I was going to call him Bilal as his last name, but yeah, I think you have enough there. We should be okay. I think you just want to, like, you know, like Sean said, I'm not sure if there's enough pass rush up the middle, but for them, the main job is stopping the run. Like, you stop the run, and everything else can start from there. So I just think the depth, I'm not sure about. You can always add somebody, but I think those main three guys should be good enough to hold up against the run, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about staying healthy, right? I mean, that's kind of what we haven't seen them quite be at yet this camp. But, I mean, if those three vets can stay healthy, and I mean, like, the interesting thing about Nichols is, you know, he's in his fifth year in the league, still only 25. So he's a young guy. I mean, he played, you know, he's played every game the last two seasons, 17 games last year for the Bears, 16 the year before, you know, 8 sacks combined over the last two seasons. So he should be a solid guy for them. They've got enough bodies, like you said, and it's just see if anybody can kind of can stand out among that group. All right, let's talk edge rushers. Does this team have any decent edge rushers? I mean, obviously, this is what hopes to be the strength of this defense. Max Crosby, Chandler Jones. mean, it's as good a duo as you can really get in the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about who's the best duo. And I mean, they're going to be in any conversation. And then it's just kind of about the depth behind them. You know, can Malcolm Kuntz be a guy? Can Deshaun Bauer? We got a Deshaun on the roster. He had a sack for you on Sunday. We know what they have with their starting duo. It's about, you know, if they need the depth, who's going to step up there?
Yeah, and I guess the expectation going into camp was that it'd be Kyler Fackrell, but he, you know, first week of camp got injured and went on IR, so he's lost for the season. And so Malcolm Kuntz, you kind of think is the next guy up, but he's, you know, I think he's still coming along when it comes to getting stronger and bigger. Like, he's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker type guy, and they do some 3-4 stuff now, so that works. But he also has to be able to survive when, you know, the team is running the ball too, and that's been something that's kind of been hit or miss for him throughout his short career to this point. Clee Farrell's been out for a while. He's going to be on the roster because at least I think so. Like, I don't think you're going to eat $10 million just to not have him on your team anymore. And so, I mean, outside of that, you know, it's kind of, like I said, Deshaun Bauer. I mean, that third pass rusher spot, you know, kind of similar to the third defensive tackle or third and fourth defensive tackle spots. It's kind of like, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, they're really banking on, obviously, you know, the top two being so great and dominant that it doesn't really matter all that much in the grand scheme of things, which, you know, seeing Chandler Jones, you know, he bounced back from the injury he had in training camp today. He flashed, you know, he beat Leatherwood in a one-on-one drill pretty badly at one point. And then, you know, it was a run play. Actually, they're not doing live contact or anything, but if they were able to do live contact, I would have felt bad for that running back on the play with how quickly Chandler Jones was in his way there. So he's been flashing a lot since he's gotten back from that injury. And, you know, Max Crosby is Max Crosby. And so I think the top two will be everything, you know, that's been advertised. And some people, a small group of people, have kind of been a little bit like, you know, Chandler Jones had that big week one performance last year where we had 5 sacks, and then after that kind of had so-so production the rest of the year. But I wouldn't be too worried about that. He still looks like, you know, one of the top-tier pass rushers in the league.
Yeah, I think Kuntz definitely stepped up and made some plays the last couple of games. I think it was, you know, definitely an opening after the injuries. I think the staff had some concerns if he was strong enough. But, yeah, to me, you make plays in the game as a starting point, so you show you can make plays going forward. So I think he's probably in the mix, probably is their number three pass rusher at this point. As far as Klee, I don't know how bad the injury is, but maybe these injuries give him a chance to get on the roster. I didn't think he was going to make the roster, I'll be honest, even before the injury. So we'll see if he doesn't have a chance now, if he comes back. But I don't see him being a big part of the plans, but, I mean, you never know. I mean, obviously he's not a bad player. Maybe he can help fill in both inside and outside.
Yeah, I just don't feel good enough about, like, any of their other defensive ends where I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to eat this $10 million real quick just to not have him on the team, you know, especially since he can play inside a little bit. Yeah. And that spot also isn't that great. It's like, it'd be different if they had Kyler Fackrell still.
Yeah, I think Fackrell's looking pretty good. I think Fackrell's injury is a big deal, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's just, they don't have a ton of great options. So it's like, unless they're going to go sign somebody or make a trade or something, it's kind of.
I mean, I guess the big thing when you look at, you know, their big move, obviously, at pass rusher was trading away Yannick Ngakoue, signing Chandler Jones. And, I mean, we all would agree that the ceiling for Chandler Jones is higher than Ngakoue. But, I mean, Yannick is a guy who is tough, has not really missed any time due to injury throughout his career, played all 17 games last year. You know, Chandler played 15 out of 17 games last season, but you know, only 5 games in 2020, missed the whole 2019 season. He's 32. That's really the one fear you have at edge rusher by making that change, is that you've gone from a guy who has kind of, you know, proven durability in Ngakoue to a guy who is a bit older and has a little bit of a recent injury history in Jones. And, you know, if suddenly you lose Chandler Jones to injury for half a season, we just talked about, you know, with Fackrell gone, we don't love that depth. So that would be the one concern, I think, at edge rusher, is that you did go to a higher ceiling edge rusher with Chandler, but you know, maybe a little bit more volatile.
And he also brought in a guy who helps you instill the whole Patriots way. Then he was, you know, Ziegler and McDaniel's guy in New England, and they're trying to get that culture here. And he's one of the handful of guys they have in the locker room who's really, like, kind of setting the new standard. So you're right. Ngakoue definitely is more durable, I guess, at this point in his career. But I think just the leadership and the upside and just the overall game, you know, run defense and pass defense, you've taken a step up with Jones.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, let's talk linebackers. The Raiders, their first Pro Bowl linebacker in, 30 years or something like that, when Denzel Perryman made the Pro Bowl last year. And, you know, he's going to be there in the middle of the field for them. They've got Divine Diablo, Jayon Brown. You know, how do we feel about this this linebacker core as they move into Patrick Graham's defense?
It should be good. I think Denzel Perryman was great last year. I mean, you always have to wonder, you know, different system. Obviously, he was the right fit for Gus's system last year, and this is a whole new system. And will he? And he never had the success he had last year before last year. It's kind of like a career year by a huge jump. He was kind of a decent player for the first part of his career, not really the playmaker and the heat-seeking missile he was last year. So you hope that translates. I like Divine Diablo's upside a lot. I think he's a big-time athlete. He's I always forget how big he is. I see him in practice field. Like, wow, that guy's he's really big, and just he moves around so well. And again, you hope he takes on a new system. So all these guys, on paper, looks good, but you don't really know the fit and how it's going to translate with the new coach until you actually see it. Not in the preseason games, but in the first game when everything's real. So I think on paper it looks fine, but I don't really know for sure.
They have a pretty strong trio between Perryman, Diablo, and Brown. And, they're going to be in nickel, I won't say most of the time, but a lot of the time anyway, so it's going to be two linebackers on the field, and I would say Perryman is going to be a lock to be a guy that's always on the field. But and Brown and Diablo are kind of jockeying for that other nickel and linebacker spot. I think they have a little bit more flexibility last year in terms of, you know, Perryman, he's a guy that's not that great in pass coverage, and so sometimes they would have him out there in passing downs and bad things will happen. But now they can just, you know, maybe just have Diablo and Brown, you know, be on the field if it's 3rd and 18 or something like that. You know, in terms of past that, I think they'll probably cap it at 4 linebackers is my gut feeling. And I think Darian Butler, UDFA, you know, he's a guy that might have an outside chance of making the roster. They brought in the guy from the Rams and Broncos, Micah Kizer, but he got hurt. He's on IR, you know, so it's kind of, you know, a bunch of guys kind of in the mix for that 4th spot. But I think it's more so about that top 3 and, you know, barring injury, you know, that's really all they should need, given that, you know, they're going to be in sub packages a lot of the time anyway.
All right, let's move on to the secondary, and we'll start with cornerback and getting Trayvon Mullen back on the field. That's a nice first step. Rocket Sin back. Mullen's kind of in this weird spot, right, where he's been, he got hurt last year and then ends up having the surgery in the off season, and so he's been really sidelined for a long time now. And we've seen enough out of Trayvon Mullen over the start of his career to know that he's a solid cornerback. But we still don't quite know who he is, right? I mean, losing so much of the time last year and then losing all this offseason, I think he's a guy that getting him back on the field for the last half of training camp here and kind of seeing what he can do, I think he has probably a lot of questions to answer about who exactly he is and, can he, earn that other starting cornerback job alongside Rocky Sin? And we know Nate Hobbs, such a good rookie year at nickelback, and they have been using him at outside cornerback. You would presume getting Mullen and Yassin back, that slots Hobbs back in that nickel back spot, but they've got Anthony Everett. It is an interesting group that if they're all healthy, you feel like they've got 4 pretty good corners, but we've got to see, Mullen be able to get out there, be healthy, and kind of prove what exactly he is, I think.
Yeah, I think Trayvon was a big question mark for the last regime, the ones who actually drafted him and loved him coming out of college. And they didn't really know what they had in him. So I imagine the new regime has no idea, because you mentioned there's some good film, also some bad film. There's also a history of injuries, and not a guy who I would call a playmaker at this point in his career, a guy who, attacks the ball as well as you would like. But he's close enough in coverage where there's definitely some potential. So I really don't know what the new staff thinks of him. I think they've got some guys in that obviously like, Yassin and Averett are guys who I think they peg as playing a lot. And obviously, so we'll see how long it takes him to get back to being fully healthy. I'm not sure where he's at in that process, but he's got 25 days. And so I am very curious to see what his role will be. I really don't know at this point.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, I'll say quick on Everett, he's been out since, I think his first day out was the same day that Yacine had been out for, July 31st. And so he's been out for a while. And so, you know, obviously he's not like on IR or the pup list or anything right now, but, you know, he may have some kind of injury lingering there. And so we'll see on his status moving forward. But yeah, that'd be the group whenever he gets back. But that's just a note moving forward.
Some whispers that the Raiders are going to play a lot more man coverage this year. You know, Patrick Graham's in the last couple of years with the Giants, I think he had to play a lot more zone because he didn't have the corners he wanted to play more man like they did in New England and with Miami. And, you know, they got Rockison, who's a man corner. They got Averett, who's a man corner from Baltimore. So I think Trayvon Mullen is the guy who is, you know, he's good, decent at playing a bunch of different coverages. So, you know, it is questionable to whether he can play a high volume of man coverage. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why the staff probably likes Amik Robertson, is he was really good at a bump run man when he was in college as well. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more man coverage from this group than we saw last year.
I like the idea of moving Hobbs around. I think Hobbs definitely showing he can be that playmaker type and the guy who can use as a weapon wherever he lines up. So I do like the idea they're going to move him around, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing just how that looks.
Yeah, if you look at the depth pieces kind of beyond those four, I mean, Darius Phillips, who we've been seeing back there returning punts, you know, in the preseason looks solid there. You know, figure he'd be a depth piece. And as Ted mentioned, Amik Robertson, if we talk about draft picks by the previous regime that are still kind of a question mark, that's another one where, you know, he's done this in the past where he's been promising during training camp and, you know, it hasn't necessarily translated into the season. So, we'll see. I mean, if he can, you know, if he can carve out a role and suddenly you've got him as a contributor, even if it's just a depth contributor, special teams, that kind of thing, that would be a win for you. But you know, he still obviously has a lot of question marks.
I think Patrick Graham, he's been a guy that has used nickel and dime pretty often. You know, a lot of times with dime, we think about bringing in a third safety, but that could also just be bringing in a fourth corner. And so it'll be more useful for them maybe than other teams, even if everybody is healthy, you know, having four or five guys they could turn to and be confident lining up outside in any given game.
All right, let's talk safeties now. And, you know, Trayvon Merrick, we kind of know where he's at. He's going to be there for them. And then, you know, in terms of the strong safety position, Jonathan Abram, can he hold off Daron Harmon? Harmon's got the experience in that, you know, in that Patriots defense. I know, Vic, you've talked about it last week that you kind of expect Harmon to eventually kind of slide in and get more playing time. But, I mean, those three guys will all play. And then, you know, do they keep a fourth safety? If so, is that probably Roderick Teamer or Vic's guy, Matthias Farley? I don't know. He's going to give us a full breakdown of Farley here in a little bit. But it's been expressed for a long time how everybody feels really about the safety position, where you feel pretty good about Merrick, but you just don't really know if Jonathan Abram can take that next step and be able to do anything in coverage to stay on the field.
Abram definitely has strengths, definitely has that motor and that aggressiveness. Definitely you see him flying all over the field. So I'm a little curious, again, with Patrick Graham, he must have a plan. He must have an ideal scenario where you can use Abram and he's effective. I'm sure it's not in coverage all the time. I'm sure it's maybe as a, you know, I don't know if it's a nickel linebacker or what it can be, but I definitely, you know, as a coach coming in, you obviously you want certain players, you inherit certain players, and it's all about making the best use of these guys. So for me, it'd be a great test to see Patrick Graham, just how good a coach he is, if he can make Abram, you know, definitely a key part of this defense, or not even a key part, a guy who makes plays every now and then and has a value, then I'll be very impressed.
There's some things you could do with him. Like if you're playing a lot of man and you're blitzing, then, you know, I think he could be a good blitzer. Or if you're using simulated pressures where, you know, you end up dropping a guy, but you're rushing four with the, you know, different type of player, like a linebacker safety, you could have him kind of play those underneath zones like he played well last year. There are some creative ways Graham could get around Abram's shortcomings. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing with Abram if he ends up being a starter.
Yeah, and to his credit, I mean, he's pretty much taken like the vast majority, I would say like 90% of the starting snaps at safety. So like, I think Daron Harmon is going to be more of like, I think he'll rotate in for him, but I don't think he'll be like starting the game off next to Morag at safety. It seems like they're going to unless things just go terribly for Abrams to start the season, of course. But it seems like it's pretty much going to be that duo of Merrigan and Abram and Harmon kind of working in dime packages and situations where Abram struggles a little bit more. And so that seems like the pretty clear top three. I mean, the four, I think they'll carry four safeties just for depth purposes. And they traded away Tyree Gillespie yesterday to the Titans for a conditional, a future seventh round pick, conditional pick. So it seems like it's either going to be Roderick Teamer maybe or Vic's guy, Matthias. So, you know, not that we're going to see the fourth safety a lot. It's mostly going to be like a special teams player. So it's really about those, that top three that they have, which, you know, outside of Merrick isn't the strongest group in the world, but I think it's one that could be, you know, maybe serviceable for them going into the season.
Break down Farley for us, Vic. We got a 7-year veteran, 30 years old, 3 career interceptions, last interception 2018. You know, started 15 games for the Colts in 2017. What do you like here?
Yeah, you just broke him down. You did all my work for me. I just, he made plays in the first game. I think he's a veteran guy. McDaniels talked about his toughness that he brings. He's a smart guy, can move around a little bit. So just that he's a guy that I think coaches like. He's a guy that under the radar. We see his name, like, who the hell is that guy? But he's here for a reason. I don't know where his algebra making a roster, but I think he's shown up a little bit. And I think, you know, at that point, you come in, like, McDaniels knows what he can do before he steps on the field. I mean, he's pretty much, this is the bar. I know what he can do. Can this guy give me more than he does? It's kind of the question mark for other guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a 53, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's not. I just think he's a guy on the bubble, and I like the way he plays the game. I just watched him, and I like the way he attacks.
And 83 career games played. So, I mean, he's got the experience. Good special teams player. He had 11 special teams tackles last season. So he brings some experience to them. All right. We are not going to do a podcast where we do a full breakdown of the special teams, because a full breakdown of the special teams takes about 30 seconds. Daniel Carlson, AJ Cole, Trent Sigg. Yeah, that's a good trio. A good special teams battery. You know, we'll see what they do with the returner. We've talked about it. You know, we kind of would assume that Hunter Renfrow doesn't really get involved too much in punt returns anymore. I mean, maybe it's one of those situations where you throw him out there when, in some key situations. But, Darius Phillips looked pretty good back there as a punt returner. You know, DJ Turner had a nice punt return. We could talk a little bit about his chances of making the roster, especially with DeMarcus Robinson being among the first cuts as the Raiders trimmed from 90 down to 85. Turner did play well against the Vikings, both as a receiver and in the punt return game. So maybe he's got a little shot here at coming in being a fifth or sixth receiver, depending on how many they keep. And if so, maybe he's a guy that could help them out on special teams.
Yeah, he had a nice punt return against the Vikings. I think it was 23 yards. Looked pretty good there. I mean, on offense, he'd be a backup slot type guy behind Hunter Renfrow. Darius Phillips is another guy we've seen taking some punt returns, but I think the numbers may be more tricky at cornerback. Like, I'm not sure he would give them the same lift on defense as DJ Turner may give them on offense. That may be the difference there, more so than their returning skills. Kickoff returns, it seems like it's mostly been either Amir Abdullah or Zamir White. We've also seen other guys like Tyron Johnson working in there, so that seems less settled than punt returner, I would say. You know, kick returns are kind of, the value of them has dropped with the new rules and everything anyway. But it seems like a rotation of guys working back there as returners. Obviously, Hunter Renfrow was pretty good, you know, as a punt returner last year. He was up there statistically, but you don't really want to risk your a receiver as good as him on that if you don't have to. So they're definitely working through identifying some other guys, even though Renfrow has been out there, you know, fielding punts in practice.
Yeah, I'm not sure about DJ Turner. I think, to me, he's a perfect practice squad player. I know that sounds terrible. I'm not trying to limit his upward chances. But to me, he's a guy who can make plays different places. He adds some speed to the game. Is it big enough to be a factor in the passing game? I'm not sure. Do you need a backup slot? I'm not sure. I just think he's a guy who was in the practice squad last year, looked good in the game the other day. But to me, you have other guys in that room. I'm not sure how many receivers you need. And you got Matt Collins is a 3. You got Keelan Cole, a veteran, good route runner, is a 4. I think Tyron Johnson's a 5 because of his speed, and he has that potential to make plays for you down the field. So do you need 6? I don't really think you do, but I don't know. But he's definitely in the mix. I think all you can do is play hard and make plays. You've done that. But I just don't know what his chances are beating out the other two guys I mentioned. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, obviously, all you can do is make plays, and hopefully they speak for themselves. I do want to add back to the kickers, back to the kicking trio. I agree we can't really analyze their games. They're all great players and they all got money, they all got paid off. But I think we should each pick one that we would take in a street fight, because I think they would appreciate that. Like, who is your pick of those three guys, of Carlson, Cole, and Sieg in a street fight, and why?
I'm going with Sieg. He's the only one whose job requires him to make tackles, so I'm taking him in a street fight because he's a snapper. He's got to mix it up on the line. He's got to snap it, go down there, try to make some tackles. You know, the other guys are tough, but I'm going with the guy whose job requires him to make tackles.
Yeah, I'm going with Sieg too. I mean, you know, you got to go with the guy that actually has to, you know, get touched most of the time. And then Carlson and Cole are kind of lanky. You know, he has a low center of gravity. So if he gets under, if we're like UFC fighting rules, like can he take him down and then it's over, we ground and pound him? Or do they got to stand up the whole time? And I need clarification on him.
Cole's a dark horse. He can high kick somebody in the head and just get an instant knockout.
Oh.
So for me, I think I go, Cole's a good, he's a good hype man. I like him talking about the fight, but I don't actually want to see him fight. To me, it's got to be Carlson. He has the length, gets a little jab going, has the kick, keep guys away from him, keep a distance. And I think he can finish the fight without even getting dirty. So I like Carlson in a street fight.
Brian, you've got to cut this clip out. This has got to be sent. It's got to be posted just so the three of them can all see it.
Brian, who you got?
He says Seabass. Sebastian Janikowski.
On retirement, like from the front row of the ring. I watched the street fight. I guess he's not in the front row. I guess he's in the alley. Kind of lurking in the alley. I like that one. All right, Seabass. It's good.
He wasn't one of the multiple choice options, but you can go off the board.
Yeah. He's a writer.
It's a street fight. Anything goes in a street fight.
Exactly.
I mean,
anybody can enter a street fight. I mean, Vic might come rolling in and try to join it.
Nah. Too old.
All right. Next week we'll debate who wins a street fight between the four of us, but we'll save that for next week. All right, before we get out of here, anything we're looking forward to Saturday against the Dolphins? Raiders heading to Miami. I mean, we know how they're treating these preseason games. We're not really going to see the front line guys. I mean, I think the Josh Jacobs thing, and we saw that in the first game. I would imagine they still try to get some of these offensive linemen time, because that's really the big thing that they've got to figure out about this team.
Yeah, be one game closer to the regular season. Now, I think right tackle spot is probably the main thing to watch, you know? Especially if, again, we'll see tomorrow, like if Mumford is back out there. But if he isn't and, you know, Parker is still out and Leatherwood, you know, starts the game at right tackle, they have to give, you know, a pretty good, I don't know how many starters the Dolphins will be playing necessarily, but be kind of a good trial run from him. And it'd be, he start the first game, Mumford come back, and then to see him again, see if he's made any growth from that Jaguars performance and just practices in general. So I think that has to be the biggest thing for me. I think everything else is pretty settled in terms of the depth chart of the team. Like, there aren't too many major questions. Even along the offensive line, the interior line seems pretty set. I know Dylan Parham's pushing guys at guard and center, but it seems like he's going to be more of that swing interior guy, more so than a starter guy, at least right away to start the season. So it's really that right tackle spot.
Yeah, I think we kind of know the eight or nine guys that are going to be on the roster, right, on the offensive line. It's just about kind of settling in the exact spots.
Yeah, I just want to see Mumford against an actual starter. Like I said, he played a really clean game, but he played it on rookie mode. You know, I want to see him play a starter, crank it up to, you know, all pro mode and maybe all Madden mode by the end of the preseason. But, you know, I just want to see him against an actual starting pass rusher.
All Madden mode will be when the Patriots come to town for the joint practices.
Been some fights, man. Patriots got some fights the last couple of days with the Panthers. That could be fun to watch. But I agree with those guys. The O-line's obviously the big thing. I think those guys, the Parham's played all three spots. So we'll see how he does. I think the other matchups I like are like when Tyron Johnson, I think he can ice up a roster spot with a deep catch, like a big play on the field, 45, 50 yards. I think that pretty much will solidify his role on this team. I think the Kenyon Drake, Amir Abdullah battle, I don't know if Abdullah's going to play. He didn't play last time, but to me, it's pretty clear they want to trade Kenyon Drake, so just need to play a lot to look fresh and back from his injury for other teams to have an interest. I'm not sure what teams need another running back, but it's just tough for veteran running backs these days, but obviously he's still a good player, so I think finding him a role, if not here, then somewhere else, it will be a big part of the rest of the preseason.
Yeah, it is a little suspicious how much he's playing in the preseason, more so than the Jacobs thing. And it's pretty crowded backfield. Like, obviously, they aren't keeping eight running backs. So they're going to have some make some tough cuts somewhere. But, you know, ideally, if you can trade a guy and get something back, is better than just letting them loose and eating some dead money.
I mean, and obviously we know that Drake is, you know, would be a big dead money kid. But if he gets traded, you know, whoever trades for him is not going to take that huge salary because so much of it was signing bonus and all that. His base salary is only $2.5 million. So, which still, I don't know that a lot of teams are going to want to pay $2.5 million to a guy who's maybe a reserve running back. But John Gruden was out there and wanted to give him $11 million over 2 years to be a backup running back. So maybe there's somebody else out there who's willing to do it. But all right, guys, that'll wrap up this week's episode of State of the Nation. See how the Raiders do on Saturday against the Dolphins. And then we'll talk to you again next week as the Raiders are hosting the Patriots, a couple joint practices. They'll play a preseason game. Those joint practices will be fun. Those will be, you know, when you can really kind of learn a lot more about the team. You know, teams tend to get after it more in the practices than they do in the games because they can kind of script the situations a little bit more. So those will be fun. Vic, Deshaun will be out there checking it out, and they'll let us know how they're looking.
Yeah, it seemed like last year the ones against the Rams were kind of a nice takeoff point for the team. They kind of bonded. There were some fights, and I think some guys got some roles. You could see where they'd fit in. So it's always good. I think the coaches nowadays more and more look at those as a real indicators more than these games. I think those are the you can control the environment, you can control what you want to do, matchups, you know, plays, you know, different things you want to really focus on. So I think that's the real preseason is these joint practices.
I think almost every team now is doing them. I mean, you know, the Cowboys did one with the Broncos last week. They're doing two with the Chargers this week. I mean, it seems like every team, you know, the Patriots obviously were doing it with the Panthers this week and then are coming and, you know, doing it with the Raiders next week. I mean, you're seeing, it used to be like, maybe every couple of seasons a team would do a joint practice. I mean, now we're seeing teams that are doing two sets of joint practices, you know, in the same preseason. It's pretty much every team, I think, out there is doing this to some degree. And they're fun. I mean, the intensity cranks up. I mean, for us, when we're out there at training camp, you know, and it can start getting monotonous around this time of the month. And then another team comes in and it cranks up the intensity and it's a lot more fun to watch practice.
Yeah, the Patriots are one of those teams doing too because they're fighting with the Panthers every day this week, right? So I'm sure it'll be amped up for next week going against their old OC.
Yeah, I think teams are like replacing that fourth preseason game with, you know, a joint practice. I think they feel like they get a lot out of it too, you know, being able to control the situation, you know, get some good one-on-one matchups with starters against starters and that whole deal.
They're setting it all up for when the season goes to 18 games and they shave it down to two preseason and they really have to do the joint practices to get in any real work. Because we know that's coming. 17, that was a placeholder. We will be at 18 soon enough. All right, guys. Good show. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, y'all.
Later, guys.
Peace. Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want, honey. We know the names. We are the people that can find whatever you may need. If you got the money, honey, we got your disease. In the jungle. Welcome to the jungle.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.